Hello.
Hi.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. Who's on?
You got Larry, Ryan, Tim will be here in 1 second, and
Barry's getting a colonoscopy
tomorrow.
Oh, that's not today?
No.
I thought it was today.
I thought it was tomorrow.
Are you sure?
Yeah. But who knows? The kid can do it. We're milking it for a week long anyway.
Routine. Anyway. Well, good. Who's our spokesman today and what's on your mind?
Just a couple of things that's happening on this end. This Friday, we actually have a meeting set up to have lunch with the complex manager, Tim, that used to be our branch manager.
Yeah.
They moved from our office here in Boca Raton to the office in West Palm Beach. So just trying to stay in front of him. He's been responsible for us for passing on a couple of referrals to us, as well as helping us with, quite frankly, some of your cost as well. So,
great.
You know, trying to keep in touch with him, let him know what's going on, and keeping him as a center of influence.
Very smart. How often do you meet with him?
We have not met with him for about 3 or 4 months. We've seen him just in and out the office and at meetings, but this will just be our team and him. So we're trying to do it at least like once a quarter.
Okay. That's good. Yeah, that would be a really good idea. So just keep that up. That's great.
Okay. We've also, just on a separate note, we've also been able to get some referrals from the CG, consultant that Morgan has as well, where he has referred a couple of people to us, or one person in particular, to us as well.
Great.
So, but we have not done anything structured with him. When Ryan sends out a little recap of what's going on with his PM models and what we see and what we're looking at kind of in the marketplace, I do ask him to keep Sean in the loop. So that way, once again, he's seeing what we're saying and we're in front of his face again.
Great.
Ryan is a very eloquent writer, if you haven't found that out yet. So he does a good job of communicating that way with the masses.
We've got the audio CDs are going to be arriving tomorrow from the book. So Barry put that on his audible.com, and then the rest of us bought the CDs to listen to in the car. We've got some COI meetings coming up. I'm introducing some potential COIs to each other to try to get some more synergies going there. I know a husband and wife attorney that work right next to a friend of mine who's going to make partner at this big accounting firm up in Palm Beach. So when you're going up to Palm Beach to do lunch with all them and put them in touch with each other. Larry's brought in a couple million this quarter. I just got signatures for $700,000 on an existing client. And we've also done another probably 10 or 15 financial plans in the last couple of weeks as well. So it's all moving forward, but it's just moving forward slowly. We still don't have the big referrals in our pipeline, and we still don't have the consistent.
Well, we do. We have one big referral that's in there.
Sorry. We have that one hundreds of millions of dollar one that's there, but you know, we're still trying to get to that consistent couple million dollar referrals is what we need to get
mm-hmm.
to. But the market's good right now, so everyone's a genius, so a lot of money sitting still. So we're going through the book and looking at our opportunities in terms of, on the last call you said, looking at the profitability of our business and figuring out how much we're spending to obtain revenue and trying to free up more time. So we're going through and looking at our clients, and especially the lower end of our book, we're trying to make sure that everything's managed in a time-efficient strategy with some form of discretionary stuff, that we don't have to call the client and have three-hour conversations to do a $10,000, C-share trade. That's not what we're in the business of doing anymore. We're also looking to travel a bit more and try to go see some of those clients that we haven't seen in a long time. We have a team trip that we're likely going to New York, New Jersey for a few days towards the end of September to see some people we haven't seen and meet some children of people. I mean, it's moving forward. Barry's done some stuff with the website to get the website improved and update our credentials and our biographies. We're still on some issues with the firm software with LinkedIn, trying to get those updates to go through automatically. We have some of the stuff. It's working for some people and not for others, but we're working on getting that automated to where we're having a consistent presence that's done automatically on that side of the fence. And we've also been looking at larger opportunities. Tim's been trying to source some investment banking stuff, and we're talking with the different investment banks about what we can and can't do. And unfortunately, we don't really have an appetite for anything under $15 million here. But it may give us a chance to have some currency for some business attorneys and so forth that we may want to try to get in with. So trying to play in traffic and get out there a bit more.
Go ahead. Tim had a thought here. We were about that IB stuff.
Hey Ron, how are you?
Good, Tim. How are you?
I'm good. So, just looking at my Rolodex and talking with the team here in the last couple of weeks, we've got some small business owners in the, $3 to $7 million range, and after talking internally with our strategic client management group, $3 to $7 million is not going to cut the mustard from a valuation standpoint for them to have any solutions that fit. And so, wondering about your thoughts on how to, get in front of those opportunities with business owners that manage, middle size companies that may be looking to spin those off and retire.
I think you guys have relationships with smaller firms that I think you you actually vet them and make sure that they are credible, that in between the banking size and smaller relationships. And I'm not sure, positive sure you have that, but I think you do. So that's where I would go, because if they don't, they can do that for you.
That's what we're working on now. In fact, we have a whole, they have a whole bullpen, depending on what industry the company's in, whether it's manufacturing or design or IT for that matter. So they have different people doing different things where they have some expertise.
And that's, it's one of those long games things. You gotta play it for the long game. And you guys are good at that. But you want to be the guys to go to that are patient, understand investment banking, understand the patience it takes, and then just be there. You're gonna have a lot more meetings than you have success, and most people give up. So you've got to, it's like the 401k, big 401k business, or any big business that's unique. It's not for everybody. A lot of people are too impatient for it. But if you have the the patients, you will get a regular stream of business where maybe you get one relationship every year. But it's a good one. It's $5 million, and it's worth it. But you got to, there's a cost associated with it, and that's time and energy. But if you're not, you know, it's out of if you got to be in front of them, out of sight, out of business. You can't rely. It's like the center of influence business. I tell you to be there every month, in some way, in face to face. For a coffee or a breakfast or a lunch or something with your centers of influence, because you're out of sight, you're out of business. They just don't think of you. You're not number one. So you want to be number one when that business is sold. And the same thing with centers of influence. You want to be there when they have that, oh, yeah, I need a guy. And it just, it's no easy way to it. And people just give up because it's, you know, they can't see the long game, but it's one that, you know, if you're willing to pay that game and you make friends with the people, that's the key. To me, the whole thing to keep you prospecting is making friends. Don't think of these centers of influence. If you can't be friends with somebody, dump them. Okay. Unless they're really super, super ability to deliver to you. Because you got to be with them. You got to enjoy it. You got to enjoy being with them. Because you're going to be with them a lot more than you're going to get business. People say, well, you know, what do I talk about with these guys? Well, if you're friends, you know what you're trying to talk about. You got lots to talk about once a month, you know. And that's the part. So these mini investment bankers, where, you know, they're trying to do deals all the time. They're in exactly the same business you are. They're just trying, their deals are sell businesses. So when I tell you, when you create a mastermind group, one of these guys is perfect for that, you know, because they're always going to be looking for business and they're always going to be referring business. So if you, and as you say, what they have is niche. You know, your firm is niches. So for technology, for this, for that. And you guys want to figure out what your niche is, what the investment banker is, and then make up a mastermind group of people that serve that niche. And the banker, this investment mini investment banker, would be a perfect guy to help figure out that niche. So you need a CPA, you need an attorney, but you want them to specialize in that niche. So every time a business is sold, you guys are all part of it.
Okay.
Interestingly enough, there's in the one in Indianapolis, they had one or two consultants were there to help the people transition from being a sole proprietorship to back to civilian life. You know, what do you do? How, you know, not only how do you get the business ready for sale, but how do you get yourself ready to deal with a life without the business? So there's a lot of opportunity to be of more value to the client than just getting them the best price for their business and investing the money. There's some life skills. Yeah,
yeah,
some life skill things.
That brings a little more, I guess, value to that whole equation.
Right, right. And you know, the CPA, I was, you know, every community should have at least one of these groups. And what I find is that they don't have them. They just don't have them. But Indianapolis, these guys, the CPA, had a group to help people with the sale of their business, had a mastermind group. I said, oh, that's so cool. And, I mean, that's where some of these ideas come from, people that already do it. So, and the
Ryan, does that have any validity to you with your mastermind group?
My mastermind group doesn't really exist. It's like I'm working on trying to get some people together. It's been surprisingly difficult. Like, and Rob, you know, this is where I'm having the biggest challenge, I think. Like, I'm ready and willing and want to put together like a group. It's just the problem I'm having is that the people I know that are really interested in this are either in such like disparate fields that like it's hard to see the advantage, where it's like the only thing I can really think of is like putting together kind of like a group of business owners that I know that are all looking to kind of like help each other out in a non-compete type manner. Because it seems to me like all the people I know that are really motivated are like entrepreneurs. Everyone else is just like slacking off or not really working hard, or I guess some people that are lawyers or accountants I know that are working really hard. But to me, it seems like, you know, those are the people that really want to do it. Like, I know a lot of people that are real estate agents and like that kind of stuff, and most of them are just screwing around, you know, and like socially networking and stuff. But like, I'm having a hard time. Because, like, even if I wanted to, like, say, oh, I want to develop a niche strategy for doctors that are looking to sell their practices, it's like, who do I even get to join me? You know, I have to like almost like source those people. And then to your point, I need to be friends with them to this to really have a chance. So it's like I've been kind of like going through my network of friends, trying to see like who I think I could do business with, and you know, try to start from there. Because I totally agree with you that the business is coming if you're friends with them, and if you're not friends with them, it's a waste of time. Like, there's no reason, like, I'm not going to have some 70-year-old accountant lady just all of a sudden fall in love with me and send me business. She's sending it to her 65-year-old financial advisor friends. You know, like, it's just not going to happen, in my opinion. So the
yeah.
question is, do I create the niche from my existing network of people and, like, look at my network of people and try to find the niche, or do you think that I just pick a niche that I want to really, you know, because I don't really have a natural niche where I have so many clients in a particular field. Like, I've worked well with engineers that are a pain in the ass as clients, though I'm not really sure I want to target them. you know, I tend to work well with people who have some form of science background or medical background. Once again, yep. It's also a challenging cohort to work with. It's like, yep. Ideally, I'd like to work with, like, wealthy blue-collar people that don't know shit about the market and are too busy to be up my ass all day is my target audience, you know? Like, and Larry's been pretty good at finding some of those people. I mean, I'm being serious. Like,
he's right.
I want, like, wealthy, like, Larry's best client is, like, this really easygoing guy that kind of like, you know, just does what Larry tells him to do. And, you know, every few years he has an event where he gets a couple million dollars and adds to it and just, you know, goes along his merry way. And, like, I think for us, if we can find those heavy hitters that are in that, you know, late 40s, early 50s, where they're still going to be working for another 10 or 15 years and, like, you know, kind of leave us alone and let us do our thing, we solve a lot of problems by, A, getting young people with money so that money's going to stay with us longer. B, they're still saving and contributing, you know, and not, you know, and C, like, they're working and they're not just home, you know, looking for stuff to call us about. Oh, what do you think of China's new stance? You know, like, you know, I don't know what China's thinking today. You know?
You mean like, hey, Ryan, you mean like Gary?
No, he's not big money.
Well, I mean, the phone call is
yeah.
him, where's the market going, the constant.
Yeah, Barry's got a $1 million client that thinks he has $10 million with us for the amount of time.
I know. I already spoke to him today.
Right, and that's the third time in the last week, you know?
Yeah.
So sorry, Rob. So I guess that was one of those questions where I guess I gave myself my answer, but it's like, you know, is it too broad if I'm focusing on entrepreneurs in their 50s or 40s or, you know, 30s is a little
yeah.
young, like they're out there, but, you know, can I say I'm looking to work with entrepreneurs in their 40s and 50s that are expecting a liquidity event in the next 5 years? That's my target audience.
Yeah, but it'd be easier if it was, you know, those that are in technology or those that have engineering companies or those that have, you know, something breaking it down to you know your geography of what is reasonable in your area.
But you've done a good job with Sagan and with Ed Smith and with those business owners, consultants, CEO types as well.
Given enough time, yes, but those are all relationships that I've got 3 and 4 years plus into that I've, you know, and in terms of profitability, neither one of them are record setters yet. You know what I mean? Like, there's assets, but
yeah.
You know, my most profitable relationships are actually wealthy divorcees, interestingly enough, or widows.
Just a gigolo.
No,
well,
I mean that's not that's a great market.
The widows don't really get, you know, just like Muriel does, like they put faith in us. And they don't micromanage either. Most of them don't.
I mean the suddenly single, you know, suddenly single groups are, they're willing to refer to you, so you develop a practice around family attorneys that are willing to refer to you, that know that you're good and you've done a good job for their clients and managing their money, and so you, that's a niche. It doesn't have to be your only niche, but if that's the group, you know, after you all said and done, you come back to, yeah, I seem to be pretty good with widows and divorcees. Well, who knows about widows and divorcees, but family attorneys, divorce attorneys, that need people to evaluate portfolios and need people to take clients that, because they're all of a sudden there's a big split. And you're there to, you know, you talk about liquidity events, you know, there's a sale of business and then there's divorces, right? Those are great deaths.
Yes.
You know, deaths are also a liquidity event. But generally, estate planning attorneys are much more difficult to work with than divorce attorneys or family attorneys. They're generally pretty good, but, you know, you get a designation that says that you're certified, and then you go prospect them and make friends and build centers of influence, and then, you know, you can develop a mastermind group around divorcees and widows. You know, think about all the people that serve them and need them, or they need, you know, the divorcees need them. You can create your own mastermind group around that. Take a little creativity, but you could do it. The other thing to keep in mind is don't worry, you know, put a sundown provision on it where, you know, we'll do this for a year if it's in everybody's best interest and it looks like it's going to be great. We can renew it or people can drop out, but we're going to kill it off and then start a new one or not start a new one. That way everybody has an out, socially.
Okay.
That they know it's only going to last a year, and then not every, you know, then people don't freak out when they think about joining something that's going to last forever. So, you know, you do it as a beta group or an experiment, or let's try this for a year and see how it goes, and we'll sundown it and then start it over if you want to, and if not, then, you know, we go on our merry way, no hard feelings.
And within the team, would you find it more effective if the four of us had, I mean, on one hand, if we're all working on the same cohorts, then, you know, we have, there's definitely advantages there, but we would be able to cover more ground if we all had different center, a different focus. You know, how do you feel about that in terms of?
I mean, just think about it. If you have four guys going to a dinner and you have four other guys there, I mean, you're kind of overwhelming them. That's eight guys at a dinner. It's too many. And too many of you. Plus, I don't like, you know, having three guys watch one guy dig a ditch, you know. I like to have four guys digging a ditch, you know. So have your own mastermind groups.
But we can have one or two go from time to time. Just because you accompany one time doesn't mean you have to go all the time and vice versa.
Right. Absolutely. That would be fine. That would be fine. But it yeah. should be, you know, it should be one guy is the lead guy on that mastermind group. Bring your associates in when you want to make a presentation or you want to bring some depth to your group, or you're going to be, let's say you're going to be focused on that mastermind dinner. You're up. Your company is up, and you're going to present your business plan to them and your challenges and opportunities to the group, and you want their feedback. Well, then maybe you have another associate with you to kind of take notes and listen while you're kind of conducting the meeting.
Okay.
Those are good questions, though. You're obviously engaged, or you wouldn't have these good questions.
Yeah, like the attorneys that I'm introducing to my my friend is a CPA who does higher net worth tax planning up in Palm Beach and Jupiter. And yep. the two CPAs that I'm introducing him to, one is a high net worth estate planning CPA with a reputable firm, and her husband is a business transactional attorney that does liquidity events and international tax planning. So these are the right type of people, and they are dealing with the types of people we want to deal with every day. And now I'm just trying to deepen the relationship in a more professional manner. And we've actually just referred a client to my one friend is the attorney. I mean the CPA that you know I've known him and his wife since like kindergarten. So the depth of relationship is there, and now I'm just trying to put it on a professional manner, you know?
Absolutely. This is ideal. I mean, that's what you're talking about. You don't mind getting together with them once a month because you like yeah. them. You know, this is what you and we all talked about. That's one of the big revelations for me in this networking business is realizing that this isn't going to happen unless you're friends. You gotta make friends. And, you know, does it take you a year, 2 years, 3 years to make friends? I don't know. Whatever it takes. It can't take 20 years. That's too long. We don't have that much time. But you got to be able – it's, again, the long game. You got to be able to and willing to devote time and energy to this stuff and be very sincere about it.
And do you suggest – like Larry plays tennis a lot, which is a competitive environment. Do you find that makes a difference, like, in terms, like, sometimes I find when I play poker with people, I end up being pissed at them if they knock me out at the end. I'm just saying, you know.
You're probably more pissed at yourself.
Okay, you're probably right. I'd still go back and play with those people. I think about right. getting together a little bit more of a regular poker game with some professionals that I know.
I always like beating everybody. And then, you know, then they want to play with me. If they beat me, then I want to play with them, right? Because they're better than I am. I want to get better. So.
Right.
And the poker game's an easy way to talk about business without talking about business just in depth, but it can allow you to kind of tell a quick story of what you accomplished as you're playing cards, or bring in other people that are doing it. You know, that's actually not a bad idea at all, Ron.
Yeah, I played. Good.
Well, one of the things, you know, we always don't know what to talk about when we're talking about business, but, you know, you can talk about your enthusiastically endorsed group with any group, anytime, about, you know, that this is what you're doing. You guys have a suggestion as to a good realtor. You have a suggestion as to, a good dentist. Or you have a suggestion about a good cardiologist or this or that. And so whatever you're trying to fill in your enthusiastically endorsed list, you can bring that up at that meeting and say, you know, somebody's got, oh, yeah, I got a great guy. Is he a good guy? Yeah, he's a fabulous guy. I'd like to meet him. Yeah, good. I'll introduce you. Terrific. Okay. And that you're done. You're done for the evening. you've got an introduction to somebody that you need to fill your enthusiastically endorsed list, and you've had kind of a mini business conversation without it being obnoxious.
Okay.
So whenever you're stuck with, you know, what do I talk about with these guys, always go revert to that. You know, revert to what's your gap analysis and your enthusiastically endorsed list.
Okay.
But sounds like you got energy and you got, you know, you got momentum and you're moving, you know.
You know, the other thing is even
good.
the poker game, you can pretty much do at somebody's house and just order pizza, or you can, you know, just do a dinner for six people at Morton's and everybody, you know, you just split, everybody gets steaks and you order steaks and you split it and everybody pays their own way. But it's a different way to kind of do things.
Yeah. I mean, it's fun. You're having fun, right? You're making friends and you're having fun. So, you know, you can do a lot of different things. What's the difference between that and a golf game, right? You just happen to be playing golf. You come, you know, 19th hole, you have a drink and lunch or share bread and a little conversation and off you go. Same with tennis, same with anything that you do that you like doing, sailing, whatever. Invite people, have them over. I had a guy this week. This was interesting. This was a residential realtor. He's a client of the financial advisor, and the financial advisor has been a mentor to this residential realtor for years now. And the residential realtor invited him to a dinner of about 12 people who had been mentors to him and had really been instrumental in his success. And it was a thank you dinner to them for really being important in his success in his life. And he gave him a little gift. It was just like a little jam that he and his wife had made. But this FA was really moved by it and thought that it was a wonderful, wonderful idea. So I just passed that on. There's a lot of different things we can do. We talked about getting the enthusiastically endorsed people together. A gal does that. She has she calls it her preferred friends. And she gets together once a month, I think, with them, or once a quarter, and has them over for dinner. And it's a hot ticket in town. So it's, you know, interesting what people do to create these networks that can be very important.
I think at the end of the day, as long as you're doing something like that and keep moving forward, regardless of what it is, that's just what we need, you know, just playing in the right traffic.
Right. Right. Keep examining what you're doing. Keep, you know, that's what these calls are good for. To just kind of re-examine, am I going down the right path or am I on the wrong path? I mean, sometimes it's just talking it out. Like Ryan, you know, talked all around it and came back to, this is who I like as clients. This is who I'm good at getting. This is where I need to focus. So did he know the answer? Yes, but he wasn't as conscious of it as he was until after he went through that self-analysis. So you can do that as a group or you can do it with me. But the idea is to kind of talk it out. And sometimes the answers you already have.
But that's also why, Ryan, going to New Hampshire is such a big deal, because it's putting, you know, we're going to their house, we're going to their, it solidifies, we're going to see them, it solidifies the value. Yeah, they want us to come, but it's also, hopefully we can make it a friendly, make them more friends versus clients, as well as even look at referrals or other business.
Right. How are you guys being in terms of introductions versus getting names and phone numbers?
Not very good. That's one of the things that's one of the many things we need to look at.
Yeah, it was funny. Today I had one of those where they were all excited about getting an introduction, getting a referral, and it ended up, they got a name and a phone. They didn't even get the name and the phone number. The client gave their name and their phone number to the prospect. Well, you know, that's fraught with danger, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the client, the prospect is shy. They don't call. That could just end up with nothing. And yet you had this, you know, two out of three parties were very excited. You were excited, and the referrer was excited. The referee isn't in the game yet, and they're not being introduced. How much nicer is that at a party where somebody comes over and actually introduces you to someone else that you should know, rather than you just going around and introducing yourself?
Yeah, like my buddy did that to me the other day. It kind of pissed me off. He's like, oh, one of my friends I grew up with is down your way, and I think you guys should meet. And he sends an email to both of us. Says, hey, guys, I wanted to send an email with a potential connection. Ryan's a financial advisor in Boca, and his wife's in IT. He grew up in South Florida and knows a ton of people. Seth's an IT professional, newer to Boca Raton, and an IT executive. You both have young kids and live around Boca and do a lot of networking, so there could be a connection. Please feel free to connect if you want, Ted. It was like the most awkward thing, and I'm like, and his bud responded back, and he's like, hi, Ryan. I'm like, hey, Seth. You know, I'm like trying to ask some questions and like get a conversation started a little bit, but like, I sent him some follow-up questions last week, and like, I haven't heard anything yet, and like, it's kind of awkward. Like, I don't even really know, you know.
It's awkward.
And I have one of those from Zinc where she's trying to get me to talk to her neighbor. I'm just going to call her, and I was toying with this today. That's why I said we're not doing as well as we should. I'm just going to call Diana and tell Diana to put, hey, let me know when you invite him over to coffee one day. I'll come by. You know, we'll meet. We'll talk nothing about business, and then we'll talk about business later.
Right. I mean, number one, you want a personal introduction, face-to-face. That's number one. Always go for that, always. If you can't get it for some reason, then at least get a phone introduction where you actually get a chance to talk with the person, and then the introducer steps off the phone, and you two get to chat, right, and get to know each other. The third is that awkward email introduction, but that's a long third. And the fourth is getting a name and a phone number. For God's sakes, at least give you their name and phone number so you can call them. You're the salesman. You're supposed to be calling them. They won't call you. So the fourth is they get the phone number.
She's given out like 100 of my business cards, and I don't think anyone has ever called me. I'm like,
correct.
Who are giving these cards to? It's like, you know, she keeps asking me for business cards, and I feel like telling her, like, no, just get me contact if somebody wants to talk to me.
Right. Really. I mean, get their card and hand it to you. You call them. They're just never going to call. It's just people are uncomfortable. They're shy, and they, you know, they're busy and whatever. They're round to it, and then that need is gone in, you know, 48 hours. That sense of I really need to talk to somebody is gone, you know? And so now you're relegated to this long list of things I'd like to do someday when I get around to it. So this is training, not you. You training your clients, you training your centers of influence. Don't think you're done when you make friends and they like you and they want to refer you. Now the question is, how do we do it? And tell them, this is how we do it. If you really wanted me to know them, you would have me over for dinner, or you would introduce me over coffee. Let's do that. Okay? And that's the way to do it, in person. Somehow, lunch, dinner, breakfast, somehow, what's best for you? And that's how you teach them to do it. Because otherwise, it's fraught with procrastination. Terrible. Frustrating. Instead of it being a good thing for all three people, it's a terrible thing. Embarrassing. So that's not good. So anyway, good. I'm glad I brought it up because it's one of my pet peeves. It's things that drives me crazy. I teach over and over, and then somebody, a good guy, one of my best clients, tells me that. And I'm like, oh, God. I hate to break their bubble. I didn't even say anything. I just was like, okay, I'll talk to them next time. But it's frustrating.
Yeah.
But it sounds like everything, you guys are on the path. And this is the key. You're on the path. You're in traffic. It's just more traffic. Just get, you know, do as much as you can without making yourself crazy. And just become more clever and more clever till you get the closure rate down. You improve on that all the time. And one of the ways to start it out to make it more effective is this idea of introductions versus names and numbers. Are you using the spreadsheet at your meetings? Are you keeping that up?
New acquisitions we have been.
Good.
But we've not done it for the vice president's meetings, in a sense.
Well, I mean, it should be, you know, the Monday meeting is a great place to do the whole thing. You know, how are we moving from names to prospects to, you know, from suspects to prospects to customers to clients to advocates to ambassadors, you know. And how are we doing in that whole, you know, I moved two guys from customers to clients. You know, I moved one guy from advocate to ambassador. He gave me a name. It turned into a client. So you want to kind of report on the whole thing on a Monday. To me, it's just as effective to get a client to become an ambassador than it is to get a suspect to become a client, right? It's the same thing. It's just sourcing it from your existing book. So remembering to ask your existing clients for introductions is just as valuable as sourcing a brand new client from some random place. So that spreadsheet can be helpful all the way across in prospecting. And getting, you know, getting $1 million from existing client doesn't hurt. So, you know, or converting a guy from a customer to a client by doing a financial plan or by getting him on a fee-based service. That's all, you know, all part of the game of moving the practice to the ideal practice. So, you know, just keep it up, you know, keep it in front of you. I think it's most important. That's why I brought it up. I want you to keep using it, make it, you know, if you have to cut it in two and make it two separate things, fine, but whatever. Bring it so that everybody can talk about their activities every week. I would have my own if I were you guys. Each have your own and add to it and then bring it together and package it up and see what it looks like together. Is that possible, Ryan?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, just making it a you, to me, that's the Monday meeting now. That's the baseline, right? I mean, I got a bunch of good names. I got a couple guys from Suspect to Prospects, and I, whatever, you know, it's just, it is the activity that we're talking about. To me, it's that would be much more fun than just, you know, I met with two centers of influence. So, I guess it's, yeah. That made this thing much more fun for me as a coach, because now I've got something to actually coach to.
Okay.
Okay. Good. Well, keep up the good work, and I'm glad you're working with Tim on that, you know, and everything you're doing is the right stuff. Just hopefully I've gave you a little bit of direction, but you guys are, you're on it. And remember the book, listen to the book. That's,
yeah, we already got the
helpful
tapes coming in, or the CDs.
Right. Awesome. Oh. Terrific. All right. Congratulations, guys. Appreciate it.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you.
All righty. Bye-bye.